to the Paranormal Classroom, where we take attendance for the unexplained. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay. And we're two teacher moms talking about stuff that freaks us out. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, Lindsay.
How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for coming over to my backyard today.
Yeah, explain your studio setup for everybody.
We're sitting under a pergola thing that I put together in a stiff wind. It will probably take out the neighbor's house, but for now it looks nice and cozy on our new deck that we built this summer, and no one has fallen through, so that's good. Mm-hmm. It's been a perfect, crisp fall, lightly rainy day. It was the last day of the market in our town, and I got to go and then do some door knocking today. And
Lindsay's running for office.
Yes.
That's what she means by door knocking.
Please vote. Whatever your vote is, please vote. A lot of people don't vote in the off-year elections, mm-hmm. and quite honestly, it's the most important time to vote. People get a little apathetic or a little lackadaisical about the smaller votes in between the major general elections for president. These are the elections that determine real power that will affect you most directly
in your small communities.
Issues. Yep, mm-hmm. local issues, small town government. So November 4th. Yeah.
That's exciting.
But do you have anything haunting you?
What is haunting me? I don't have anything like personal, really. It's been a normal week. But I do have a paranormal thing that's been haunting me.
Ooh, I have one too, and I just remembered because you said that. Okay, go.
Okay, so I've been researching consciousness and listening to, like, Mayim Bialik Breakdown and, like, some good podcasts. And I just heard about this research study that was done by a scientist who was training these little worms, these little flathead worms, to go through a maze to get their food.
Okay.
There's very simple, right? Setup. So it takes them a long time because they're worms to learn how to get through the maze to get their food.
How big was this maze? Like a 6-inch maze?
Like, no, I have no idea, actually.
Football field?
I have no idea because the worms are really tiny. They're like, anyway.
Yeah.
What's cool about these worms is they have heads, they have brains, they have a nervous system, but it's all in their head. Everything is in their head.
So the rest of their body is just what?
Yeah.
Guts and...
It's just guts and...
Blood?
Yeah.
Or fluids?
But they're tiny. So
okay.
It's not a lot. But it's important to know that the brain is in the head and the whole nervous system and everything, because we think with materialism that the brain is the source of your memory, right? So what this scientist does is he cuts off all their heads. And the cool thing about these worms is that they will regrow their heads. They'll regrow...
What?
Yeah. You can cut off their head, which is their entire nervous system and brain. And in about 2 weeks, they'll regrow it. And guess what happened after they regrew their heads in 2 weeks?
They remembered how to
get how to get through the maze.
Hold on. I have so many questions.
Yeah.
How? Is the first one. I don't understand, because what would regenerate? Is it just like their cellular DNA is like its own, you know, like stem cells or whatever? Like it just... I don't understand how it happens. How does that work?
I don't know. I've told you before that I do a ton of research on consciousness, physics, quantum physics. I love learning about it, but I only understand about 30% of it. But all I know is that this is just one research project, but it could indicate that consciousness is not stored, memory is not stored in the brain, that it's somewhere else.
Or at least it is for the flathead worm.
For the worm.
Or the worm is going off of some sort of muscle memory.
Possible.
But do they let them try to get through the maze headless?
Well, I don't know that he did. I just know that he waited for the heads to regrow. It took 2 weeks.
I'd like to see the headless worms try give it a
shot.
Because then that would rule out for me that there's some, that it's, it exists somewhere else in the body.
But if they don't have a head, they don't have a mouth, what are they going to go eat for?
Just out of habit.
Just out of habit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But if they can regrow a brain.
Right.
Like, there's something in their body that's going to remember, I'm supposed to have a mouth. Maybe they would just... Do they even have noses? Like, how do they know there's food? Worms don't have noses.
I don't know, but I see it's why it's been haunting me.
Yeah.
Because I can't stop thinking about it. And now I gift it to you. You can't stop.
Now, I think we've talked about it on the pod before, but that show, Upload.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it yet?
No.
Just watch the first episode sometime. Okay. It gives you the whole premise, and then you can decide if you want to go further from there. I shouldn't say the whole premise. It gives you a large gist of what it's about. And that essentially that's what it's about, except for humans, is that you can be separated from your consciousness. It can be uploaded uh-huh. into a virtual, quote-unquote, heaven. And then it's, of course, priced out, and you get a different level of experience based on how much wealth you put into it.
Oh, wow.
It is wild. But that's what it reminds me of, is okay. that you could be separated from your head, and then you still exist yeah. in this. But that in that world, it's in a computer.
Yeah. And what about all those people who are freezing their heads because they think someday science will be able to give them a new body? They're going to realize that they're not in their head when we finally get right. to that.
I don't think that's going to end well. For starters, I'm not encouraging this to happen, but let me see the saber-toothed tiger first.
Okay.
The dodo bird first.
Like, oh, they're bringing back the mammoth.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Show me the mammoth money. I haven't seen it yet. I want to see... Not really. I really think we should just leave it alone. Like, there are certain missions that we should leave unfinished or unsupported. Like, let the past be in the past, and let's focus on the living creatures right now.
I like think that's humans. What Jeff Goldblum was saying.
Yeah. Nature will find a way.
Yeah.
And I've seen Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
I know how that story ends. That's a joke a lot of people make, but it's true. Like, we bring back woolly mammoth, then what?
Yeah.
What's the natural predator? Spoiler alert, there isn't one, except for us. So, I just don't, ugh. But if we're going to jump to regeneration of bodies from human heads, okay, fine. I'm not paying you a ton of money to take my head into storage, unless you show me the woolly mammoth first. Do that, and then we'll talk.
All right, tell us what's haunting you, and then I'll
oh my
get
gosh,
to my story.
So many things. First of all, had a revelation this week that we've talked about it so many times. Why are so many ghosts from like the Victorian era?
Yes.
They seem like they're old.
Yes.
I have a theory.
Oh, good.
I think it's because since the dawn of modern technology, we are getting ish done.
Yes.
We don't have as much unfinished business. Because of our cell phones and our computers and our, like, we can communicate more rapidly. We can get stuff done. We have to-do lists we can check off. Like, we can get a lot done mm-hmm. a lot faster. So my theory is that we don't see a lot of ghosts from the 2000s on.
Because they need a rest.
Because
like, they're done. Overwhelmed.
There's no unfinished business. Like, that ghost in the 1800s that had to, like, just to get to town would take 2 days. Just to get there. And then hopefully you survived the robbers and bandits along the way. So it's a lot more efficient now. Maybe we just go being a ghost. Ghostdom is about a lack of efficiency.
I feel so bad for them though, because they don't really do anything. They just like apparate in front of a mirror in your bedroom. And then like, that's not finishing their business either.
I think unless you're one of these lucky few who I believe have actually gotten to talk to them, communicate mm-hmm. with them, and not just like the cliche, who are you? What are you doing here? How did you die? But like Amy Bruni,
yeah.
How may I help you?
Yeah.
Like you would a human. And reserving assumptions about what it even is to begin with. Is it the spirit of a former living human, or is it alien or whatever? Like, reserve judgment on what you're communicating with. And just find out if you can be of service in any way.
Yeah.
I guess. Okay, so that's one thing I've been thinking about. I had back-to-back paranormal experiences. Did I tell you about the branches in my tree?
No.
And the shadow figure?
No.
Okay. So, this stuff always happens when my husband's out of town. Always, always. And I don't know if it's because I'm more hyper aware in like a, just a safety for my household kind of vibe or what, but, my dogs every once in a while, I have two Labrador retrievers. Every once in a while, they like to go on a perimeter check around the backyard at 2 to 3 in the morning. Not my favorite time of the 24-hour period. And least of all in a spooky backyard. My backyard's lovely, but at night it's kind of spooky. So this was one of those nights. They wanted to go out. They went out and then I checked on them. They were out for a long time, and occasionally they'll bark, and they weren't barking or anything, so I figured they were just, tooling around. I come out, and my chocolate lab is frozen on our basketball court, just frozen. And I called for her, Mocha, come on in the house. She's not budging. She's not budging. And then she's like, looks over her shoulder and then starts trotting toward me. And I look and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, there's nothing. Please tell me there's nothing back here. I don't see anything. And then my other dog, Lando, the white lab, he is on the basketball court and he's just sitting. But Lando will do that. He'll just sit and stare at us. It's his stubbornness. But this time he kept looking over his shoulder in the same direction that Mocha was. And all of a sudden, out of this tree that's, I'm pointing to it right now, it's the one nearest the fence there, that big, yep, tall fir tree. Do you see the branches on the ground? Huge, big branches over here on the grass?
Yeah.
They just went and landed in the, right there.
That's crazy. That's a lot of branches.
It's a lot of branches. Each one is about, I don't know, 10 feet long.
Okay, they're massive branches, and they're not all one branch. It's like
two separate branches. Actually, two, and then there's a little smaller branch over here. They're quite a ways away from the, like, fence line, so they came from really high up. These trees are over 100 feet tall, some of them. And then Lando was like, yep, that's enough for me, and he scuttle-button in. And then they both were in my room for the rest of the night. Oh, so then I'm in the bedroom, and we have a window. We just have these shears over it, so you can still see out the window or in the window. And I have these newly installed motion detector lights along the deck line. And I'm laying in bed, and all of a sudden, the light comes on. And I can see it from inside my window, and I'm like, oh, hell no. Please be a raccoon. Please be a raccoon. And I did that a few times, and then I just was like, I'm going to roll over and face the other direction.
How do you have to shear blinds? That's so scary.
Yes. But also, if I didn't, I wouldn't know what time it was in the morning. I need to kind of wake up, like, with the sun a little bit.
You're going to see everything creepy in your yard. I would always be afraid to look out the window. Because you could see through the shears, right?
Yeah, but I figure if that is a fear I have, is that one night I'm going to roll over and look, and, like, Bigfoot's going to be standing right there.
Or white face, just look at something creepy.
Oh, Lord, jeez, Lord. Alien. No. Please, no. So that all happened. The next morning, I had asked my husband if I could drive his new car to work for funsies, because he wasn't here. He had taken, he had carpooled to the airport for his trip. So he said, sure. So his car is parked in the garage. I open the garage door. I get in the car. I start the car. And all of a sudden, I look in the rearview mirror, and I see, just out of the garage door frame, I see a tall, like, dark shadow figure dart by.
Oh, they're always darting.
That's and the garage door shut.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm in this car. The car's running, mind you. Thank God I looked at it. My husband's car is loud. It's got a loud engine. And I could have just backed up right through the garage door, and, man, would he have been ticked. But instead, something got my attention. I looked in the rearview mirror. I saw that shadow, and then I saw the garage door close, thankfully. Otherwise, I might have backed into it, because I knew I had opened it. There is no way. I actually called my son immediately. Hey, did you happen to come outside for some reason and, like, just close me in the garage door? I mean, you couldn't miss that I was in the garage about ready to leave. He's like, no, I'm just getting out of bed. And then nobody else was home. It was just two of us. So that was weird.
Let me guess. Blacker than black.
Yeah, it looked
human shaped.
Yeah. It was daytime.
Away, and it darted away.
It just, yep. I just saw like a half of it.
Yep.
And it looked like man high, you know.
Yep.
6 feet tall ish. Yeah. And I just saw the last little bit of it, and it looked like a full black mass.
Oh my gosh.
Just whoop, zipped by, and immediately the garage door closed.
I can't believe you saw
it. I literally thought, like, because the only way to close my garage door is either from the button, which was opposite me, in front of me, next to the door that leads into the house. Mm-hmm. Behind me is the garage door, right? And there's a whole car's length and other things in between. The other way to do it is the little remote on hanging from the mirror, the visor. I look up, it's there. It's not bumping up against anything. There's nothing going on there. The third way is to, right where that shadow figure was, there's a panel so that you can put an access code in and raise it automatically from outside. Mm-hmm. And you hit the enter button and it will close the garage. That's the only other way. But I sat there for a minute thinking, okay, maybe it would still be weird if they heard an engine running. But if a neighbor or the UPS or somebody thought that I left it open accidentally and they closed it for me. But then where were they? Because they were headed toward my front door and there's nowhere to go. Like, nope. We have fences and stuff there. So nothing that came back around. And so I just backed out, called my son real quick, and went to work.
You saw what I saw the one time in my life, was telling us on the episode with the Hat Man. One time I saw a shadow figure, blacker than black, shaped like a human, and it moved crazy fast. And that's your, it's just like what you described. It's just like what we've seen, like these, whatever they are, they've been caught on camera sometimes, and they always move really fast.
And it's not, it doesn't seem like it's ever like a whole shape of a human, but you get the sense that was human shaped. Or I guess it could be just humanoid shaped. I mean, it wasn't like a horse.
Yeah, no.
Or a raccoon. Like, it was a tall, slender, human type shape.
I'm determined to know what they are before the end of my time here. Like, I really want
to
know.
What was it trying to do to me? Kill me?
I don't know.
My car's running. I'm in a garage. Like, what is it trying to do? Or maybe just the electrical energy of it, if that's a thing, passing by triggered the garage door to come down.
Yeah, because I don't hear a lot of stories of them interacting with anything, with people or with, like, touching things. Like your garage door, that's not usually what
unless
story.
It was just a prankster type of thing. Yeah. Who knows? But it was weird. It was weird. It was a lot of weirdness in a 12-hour period.
Wow.
So, nothing since. But my husband's been back home.
And he's been back, so.
But he's away tonight.
So okay.
We'll see.
Sleepover.
Yeah. So that was a lot of things, but... And I know that you have prepared, you said, a long episode for us. This might be a two-parter, people.
How long have we been chatting so far?
Oh, 16 minutes and 47 That's seconds.
Long. Maybe you can cut it down. Oh, yeah. Your story's amazing. Okay. I have prepared a story for us that I just heard recently, but it's from 1829.
Okay.
And this story comes from, well, originally how I heard about it, there was an article published in the Detroit Gazette. And the article was called "A Weird and Malicious Ghost."
Speaking of Detroit,
yeah,
go Mariners.
Are they in Detroit right now?
No, we just beat them. Mm. We just beat the Detroit Tigers in Game 5. I can't believe you don't know this.
I don't watch any sports. Not a one.
That's fine. That's fine. But it's huge. This has not happened in 24 years. The Mariners are going to the ALCS, which is the final stop before the World Series.
Oh,
so we're almost
big
there.
Deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty big deal.
It's
sort of huge.
We should have a whole podcast where I talk about innings. Sports and I'm like, what's that? Oh, that sounds cool.
So, yeah. Okay. We're in Detroit. 1829.
Actually,
and now it's going to start raining, so that'll be an interesting sound effect.
We're actually in Canada.
Oh.
This is my first, I think it's my first Canadian story.
A.
So, we're in Canada. Wait, was my story about Harold Ostrom, I think that's his name, the guy.
That was Alaska, wasn't it?
I can't. I'm getting all our stories
mixed
up. Is that
the Bigfoot dude?
The guy who got kidnapped by Bigfoot.
It was up in Canada somewhere.
Okay, so this is our second Canada story. This takes place 50 miles north of Detroit. And
so barely into Canada.
Barely into Canada.
Okay.
And I have to give you a little bit of history because I think it's kind of important to know about the people that were living there to understand kind of what they were experiencing a little better.
Okay.
You ready for a little history lesson?
Always.
So this settlement, and I've already forgotten the name of it. I think it's Boondock or something, but I'll double check.
God, I hope so.
Oh, Baldoon. Baldoon.
Oh, that's great.
B-A-L-D-O-O-N. And this is called the Baldoon Mystery.
Ooh.
The settlement was founded by Scottish settlers who were escaping.
My people.
Your people. There was war happening on the islands, the Isles, around this time.
Lots of it, yes.
Lots of it. And they wanted to get away, and so... 15 Scottish families, it was about 90 people, they got together and they get on boats and they come over to
hence the name Baldoon. That is a Baldoon. Very Scottish name.
Yeah. They're offered some land in this area by a landlord named Lord Selkirk or Selkirk. And Lord Selkirk, he offered them land in exchange for, like, they would pay rent to him.
Ooh,
okay. So he's like, you guys can come over, you can be totally safe, you can farm some sheep, and you just pay me some of the profits from your sheep, and you can live here and be safe. That was the promise. Unfortunately, it was not a safe
situation. Usually, if, to my dear, sweet Scottish people, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is.
Yeah, it was horrible, because there were two things going on. One, It was a swampy area filled with mosquitoes.
Mm.
They carried, like, malaria and stuff. So nobody likes that. A ton of people perished just from disease.
Which they might have anyway, just from being from another place in the world.
Yeah, it's and possible. Not exposed.
But the mosquitoes sure as heck don't help.
No.
That sucks. Well, and who knows? Who's raising sheep on swampland?
I don't know.
Did they? No one did a scouting report? No one was like, hey, let's send McDougal out there to give it a quick once-over and see if this is something we want to live on.
Yeah, I don't know how Lord Selkirk connected with these families. Like, how did he even... Did he go to Scotland to be like, hey, I've got some land. Who wants to come? Or...
Sounds like he preyed upon some innocent immigrants, like...
Probably.
Or immigrants, like... Maybe they were kind of bouncing around in the local mm-hmm. area. Maybe they were kind of camping around.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey... Women and children.
Hey. Hey. Got a proposition.
Which should have been their first clue. But it was desperate times.
It was desperate times. These poor people. So they thought they'd come to a safe spot. They're being ravaged by disease. But then also the War of 1812 kicks in.
Yep.
And here they are on the front line of USA and Canada. They're living on the
I don't know
border.
If I'd say they were on the front line when we're talking about a war. But.
Because check this out. Turns out Lord Selkirk, he believed in what's called defensive colonization.
Okay.
This dude, this proposition dude, was going around and finding settlers, like desperate settlers, giving them land along the border of the United States and Canada. And he expected them to fight... to defend their land, because now this is all they have.
He made accidental doomsday preppers.
Yeah. He's totally taking advantage worst. Of these people. Yeah. Yeah. So he's like, now you've got guns. You have to fight for the British, or you're going to lose this swampy land that you just came to, and you have nowhere wow. else to go. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeesh. Okay.
That's so they escaped from war to go right into war. That wasn't even their war.
Right. War is so dumb. Let's just put it on record. Super dumb. Stop it.
Yes. Stop it. Stop it. So I feel so bad for these people.
Clearly they were taken advantage of. But also, how many of them are left after the malaria got them? Like, do we know how many people were talking?
How many? Well, it's 90 originally, but...
Oh, we got it. It's got to be half by then.
There's 15 families, so those families are all... Making more families.
Sure,
right?
As one does.
I don't know how many people were there around the wartime.
Interesting.
I'm sure they lost men.
Okay, so that's 1812. Mm-hmm. All right, so, but you said at the beginning, 1829. So,
yeah.
We're going to flash forward here and something
flash forward
worse is going to happen.
Yeah, like half a generation or whatever. So, we flash forward, they're past the war, but some very strange things happen in this exact spot, and mostly to one particular family. It's a Scottish family, so if you want to guess their last name, because it's, like, the most common.
It's going to be McSomething.
Yeah, it's a Mc...
McIntyre, no. McIntosh, McAllister.
You love their French fries.
McDonald's.
McDonald's.
The McDonald's.
The McDonald family. So there's a man named John T. McDonald, and pretty much this whole story happens to him and his family. But this is what I love about it. Because, you know how I love firsthand witness accounts?
We got some.
I love them. We have 24.
Ooh.
And those 24 witnesses that we have some accounts from some of this weird stuff that happened, they've all passed it down to their families. And so they, like, we even have accounts from their families who are like, hey, my grandma told me this happened to her when she was 20 years old. And so, like, what happened in this area became, like, the lore of the Scottish settler community.
Okay. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
I was not even aware that there was a Scottish, like, what's the word I'm looking for? A Scottish homesteading venture in the middle of Canada. Had no idea.
No. Hmm. I know. And caveat, Lindsay and I are very busy. We've said this before. So my research could have errors in it. I recommend if you like this story, just use it as a taster and then go research it yourself.
I'm sure there's books or something.
There's
too.
Books. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's other podcasters who go deeper, and I just kind of pick my favorite parts from what I overheard.
Okay.
Because that's all I have time for.
We're better teachers than we are podcasters, I promise.
You just made it sound
if we said the same thing about our classroom, I just picked the best parts from what I heard other teachers doing.
I don't know why they can't read.
Oh, man.
No, but there are a lot of witnesses that we have, like, some written accounts. So, here's what happened first. Okay. This is the first weird thing that happened.
Okay.
So, in this Scottish colony, they all kind of work together to make their life, be able to live.
Sure.
And they all have their jobs in community. So all the young girls were in charge of, like, they've got a giant sheep farm, so they're making the wool and they're turning them into hats and clothing and stuff. So the girls are in the barn doing that chore. Do you hear the alarm?
Yep, something's going down out there in my community.
Okay. So we're talking about the first incident that happened. The girls are in the barn doing their work. They're chatting, they're working, and all of a sudden, bam, one of the beams from the ceiling falls down right in the middle of their little work circle.
A beam of the barn?
A beam of the barn. A giant piece of wood. Or a pole.
Somebody's getting fired. Who put that up?
I don't know.
It wasn't the Amish.
I don't know.
Because that would never happen.
But it startles the girls, right? So they're like, whoa, what was the heck? Then yeah. They're looking up, like, and they're like, that's crazy. And then, bam, another one falls
what?
Down. Yeah.
Time to get a new barn.
So now they're nervous. Yeah. And they get up and they investigate. And they're walking around the barn and they don't see anything. Like, there's nobody up there sawing down beams or poles or whatever. They don't know what could have caused it. So they're like, okay, I guess we better get back to work. They get back to work and bam, a third one.
But it's got, either it's intentionally missing or it's got horrible aim, whatever this thing is trying to get at.
Because it's not hitting them.
Right. It's a group of people in a smaller space, and you've had three chances now to get one. You're not trying to. You're just trying to scare them or get their attention.
That's very possible.
Interesting.
Very possible. But this freaks the girls out. Number three is the...
That's the deal breaker.
The one. So the girls run screaming to the house. They leave the barn. They run into the house. As they get into the house, they hear this, like, snap crack sound, and a bullet falls right in front of their feet. It had come through the window. That was the, like, snap crack of glass.
Oh, my gosh.
Came through the window, but then kind of fell, like, it lost its momentum and fell down at their feet.
Bullets aren't famous for doing that.
No. And the girls are like, oh, some hunter is not being careful out there.
Well, and I've been in their shoes. Like, your brain does try to make sense of it. Like, you're not just going to be like, okay, some paranormal-ish is going down.
Yeah.
Somebody get the salt and the holy water and the Bible. You really try to rationalize it with your, with your logical mind. But that would be tough. Like, okay, something just tried to murder us in the barn three times, and now a bullet comes through our window and drops.
This is the best part, though. When I first heard the story, the person telling it used the word slug.
And I you did slug. Not. Again, slug came flying through the window. Yeah. You're like, oh, poor slug. Who would do that to a slug? And also, what kind of slug can cut glass? That's
really threw that slug really hard.
Really funny. Yeah. Can you tell we're just like two little progressive mamas? Don't know what a gun is.
I don't know what a slug is. I know.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I know.
Okay.
Okay, so the girls are there with this, like, bullet at their feet, and it happens again. Crack! And then a bullet falls at their feet.
What in the heck?
Yeah. So the girls are getting a little nervous.
These girls are dumb. Either, like, a second ago I was willing to excuse it by the logical brain trying to make sense of it.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, somebody's got a duck and cover. Somebody has to say, let's get out of here, or let's stop, drop, and roll. Something.
I assume they're having these conversations, but as they're doing it, then it's like crack, 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 pop, 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 pop,
what?
Pop. Yeah, and all it like happens like crazy. And what's crazy is nobody got hurt because as soon as the slugs or the bullets come through the window, they just drop to the ground. Like I don't know that
they don't do that. It doesn't. That's not physics possible. That's not and the chances that a place would be riddled with bullets into a central part of the home and no one is hurt when they're all standing right there, that's impossible.
And I don't think guns shoot very fast in 1825 or whatever.
No,
this is.
It's so probably bunch of people. I don't know. I'm not a gun history expert, but it seems like it would be some sort of muskety, rifley thing.
Yeah, but
could
for
be
it
a
to
handgun,
be like,
I guess.
Pop, 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 right, crack, crack. You'd have to be like surrounded by people with their little muskets, and then
it's not a machine gun because those weren't really a thing until the World Wars. Wow.
Oh, we're just getting started.
Oh, my goodness.
We're just getting started.
Okay.
So the girls run screaming
out of the house
now.
Yes. But then that seems like could be from the fire to the frying pan or whatever, frying pan into the fire. Like, but what else would you do? Is there no upstairs? It's just on one level
home? I'm not sure.
Probably some sort of, like, basement or something.
I don't know. But when they moved there, the original settlers, the original Niner, they came to that Lord Selkirk's land, there was only one house.
For 90 people?
Well, he was not, I don't think he was a good person.
Well, they're not the brightest folk.
They're desperate. Like, I mean, if you're desperate,
But who, that's like some cult level stuff of like, who decides who gets the house and everybody, it was probably one man and then all the wives. Gotta keep these women and children safe.
They eventually built more buildings.
I would hope so.
Yeah, but it feels like almost not slave trade, but like the next level to it.
Yeah, kind of an indentured servitude almost.
Yeah.
Or I forget what that's called. Fiefdom. When you have like...
It's a silly word.
It is a silly word. Fiefdom. It's not a silly concept. It's actually pretty horrendous. But yeah, where you would have a wealthy landowner that would have the little peasant dress wearing fiefs. Taking care of. It sounds like I'm saying thief with a speech impediment.
It's so funny because we're like looking at each other. We don't usually look at each other when we podcast.
We usually just see each other out of the corner of our eyes and watch the traffic go by.
So I'm like looking her in her eyes while she's saying thief.
Okay.
So the women run. They go to find the men, right? The men come. They come to the house, and they investigate.
Where were the men?
Out working. Okay. They're all working.
Hoeing the fields.
Yeah, the men are doing the men work, and the women are doing the sit down and chat, but work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Together. A lot of sewing.
Yeah. So they get the men out of the fields, and they come and they investigate, and they can see, like, all these holes in the glass where the slugs had come through.
Okay, so physical evidence.
And all over the ground. And it's a bunch of people, and they're like, well, we don't know what happened. And they find it so interesting and curious that some of them take the little bullets as souvenirs and put them in their pockets. And they're like, I'm just going to hang on to this. I can't believe this happened. What a cool story to show my kid, you know?
Glad everybody's okay.
Yeah. What else do you do? Life goes on. You got to get back
to work.
You're
busy. Yeah, you got to eat and stay warm.
And they don't know. Nobody knows where it is. Like, they didn't see footprints. They didn't see evidence of a bunch of people shooting at the house. They don't know. They don't know what it is. This whole story is a mystery.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so later, this is all at John McDonald's house. John McDonald's is sleeping, and he's woken up by his wife. And she said, I'm quoting what the wife said in the book. Hark! Hark! There's someone in the kitchen! So he gets woken up. So they listen for a minute, and they can hear footsteps, like clear clomp, clomp, clomp. And then we'll stop for a second, and then it will pick up again, clomp, clomp, clomp. So they've got babies in the house. They've got kids in the house. So John McDonald, the daddy, jumps up, rushes to the kitchen, opens the door. This is immediately after hearing the footsteps, and finds nothing. Nothing in the kitchen. And this is just the beginning. And I'm about to tell you what happens over the next 3 years. Of tormenting unexplained phenomena.
What in the heck?
It, you know what it kind of reminds me of? Do you remember when we did the podcast on the Bell Witch?
Yes.
And John Bell's
There's
family?
So many stories in the paranormal world of one family being just tortured, or what's a better word? Not haunted. I'm looking for a word. Tormented.
Tormented
by mysterious forces. Over years and years and years. And the problem is that so many times we found out that it was a hoax.
Yeah.
So then, but it doesn't explain all of them. But it's, they're all tainted because of the few who have
faked it.
Yeah. And but it's a real deal where there are some families that it's they're mysteriously targeted, or their home is for some reason.
Okay. Ready to hear about some of the crazy things that happened?
For 3 years, yeah.
For 3 years. Things escalate. So the marching feet that they would hear in the kitchen, it over time would grow to like thunderous like noises. Like
multiple
like,
people were stomping around.
Going over the roof, just like thunderous. What? Like, yeah. And then, and their livestock started dying mysteriously. So, like, they'd put the animals to bed, whatever, you secure them for the night, wake up, and the animals will be dead, mysteriously dead.
Huh.
With no signs of, like, a wound or an attack.
Let's just leave the animals out of it.
Yeah, what's crazy is some people say they saw them thrashing in the night, and then, like, if they were being attacked by some unseen force, but other people were like, nothing, they just were dead.
Hmm.
And then the neighbors would want to help because they needed their animals to survive, right? So here come some good neighbors who are like, hey, I've got a couple extra chickens or an extra cow. I'm going to bring it to you. The next day, that gifted animal would also die.
The neighbors, well-intentioned though they may be, if I had precious animals and I wanted to help my neighbors whose precious animals are mysteriously dying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving you my precious animals.
You would like bring the over next milk day or eggs whatever.
Yeah. I'll give you some product. Or I would offer human power to, like, let's get out that sign up genius and we'll start shifts.
Yeah.
As guards over, like a shepherd watching their flock by night kind of deal. Or, speaking of dogs, if I had dogs, maybe I loan you a guard dog of some kind first before I'm giving you the irreplaceable livestock.
Well, I think that's very smart.
Yeah, there's... Okay.
Maybe some people did that, but they're just bless stories their hearts, of animals
they were
dying.
Trying to help. That sucks.
And this is crazy because they claim that they saw a black goose that would appear like around these animal deaths. Just... lock in your brain, everybody take black goose and just put it in a little pocket in your brain somewhere, because that's going to come back later.
Okay. Like black goose or black swan?
A goose.
They're farmers, they know the difference.
I don't think I know the difference. Do you?
No.
Well, I think swans are prettier with a longer neck.
Oh, yeah, a duck.
Not a duck, but a...
A goose.
A goose.
Sorry. I'm not sure I know the difference between a duck and a goose. Let's start there. Is a goose just an elongated duck?
Yes.
I mean, I know not biologically, but like...
I think it's like a little bigger with a longer neck.
Canadian geese. Right.
Yeah.
So it's a duck where its creator grabbed it by the head and pulled gently until its neck got really long. That's a goose.
It's the giraffe of the duck world. And then a swan. Somebody bent the neck like a cane.
Yes. And was like, this will be fun when you try to eat. Because they have to do that crazy thing where they eat and then they throw their head back and like...
to get it over the curve.
To get it over the curve.
To get their food over the curve and down into their belly. No. Anyway, it's a goose. It's a black goose.
Okay,
so another thing the family reported seeing, shadow figures in the home, just like you described at the beginning. Humanoid, shadowy forms. They'd wake up, they'd see a woman's figure by the bed or standing outside the window. Sometimes they would just see a dark mist like swirling in the corner and crawling up the walls.
Nope. Crawling is where I draw the line.
Yeah, we've talked about that before in our Lost episode. Remember our Lost episode last Halloween?
Yes.
We did. I tried to do an episode on demons. We lost the episode.
Probably for the best.
We are never recording it again.
No. I think it was a sign.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, objects would move on their own. Like furniture rocking without being touched, windows and doors opening and closing violently. Your typical haunting kind of stories.
Yeah.
On a few occasions.
Your average poltergeist.
Average poltergeist. On a few occasions, the gun discharged by itself when nobody was next to it. That could happen though, couldn't it?
No!
I think, aren't there stories of guns just in the, we're talking like 1820, just going off?
I don't think so.
I don't think they were very reliable.
Well, they didn't have great aim, but it would have to be, I mean, I guess depending on the gun, is this a revolver or a rifle? Do we know?
Do they have revolvers? Mm-hmm. I don't know anything.
So if it's a handheld gun, or even if it's a rifle of some kind, usually, as far as I know, you have to, like, cock the gun mm-hmm. in order for, then it's ready to fire.
Aren't these the guns but you have to, like, pound like a musket? The musket?
You're thinking,
the,
like, Revolutionary War, Civil War.
So that's 1700s, it's not 1800s.
I'm sure there were still some. I don't know, I'm not, we're, all of you gun historians.
Someone's listening and screaming at us.
I know. It's not a gun, it's not a rifle, it's not a handgun. Somebody educate us, because remember, not an educational podcast
unless
you educate us. And that's a wrap for part one of this two-parter. See you next week.